I've been trying really hard this time around in my third effort of event of training to like try to maintain a good work-life balance. I know that like my work takes a lot of my time, but I try my best to have a life outside of that as well.
Find more content from the heart and mind of Dr. Duane at drduanemd.substack.com. That's drduanemd.substack.com. Come vibe with our tribe. We are tribal by nature. We make war and eventually we learn the medicine of peace. Let's sit now, like our mothers at the communal table and our fathers around communal fire, listening for the resonance that turns noise to music. Just as a surgeon orchestrates healing in the body, I invite you to this symphony of the heart and mind. Because after 20 years, this sober cancer surgeon knows this above all. Our strongest medicine flows from the heart. Now, if you're ready, let's dig deep. Yeah, so I'm so thrilled that you came back and decided to be a part of the conversation again. And I just want to remind everyone, you know, who you are. Dr. Kamari is an OBGYN, and she's now training for the third time in her life. She is a Nepali trained physician. She is an OBGYN trained in Nepali and practiced in Nepali. And she's a fertility specialist who practiced in Nepali. And now she's doing her OBGYN residency here in the States. And man, her story is so powerful, so inspiring. And I just wanted to celebrate with her by having her come back and let us know what life looks like for her now, and maybe to share some words of wisdom, you know, with those of you who find yourselves at different points in your journeys. So thank you for coming and sharing with us, Dr. Kamari.
Thank you. Thank you for having me here.
Yeah, absolutely. So catch us up. How's life been since the last time that you were on the podcast? I guess a little bit less than a year ago.
Yeah, it's been really good, actually. I've been really, really happy. I'm enjoying my residency, which it's nice because I enjoy working. So it's a busy residency. Plus, I've made a lot of friends here. Most of the people in my program are immigrants, so it's really easy to bond with them. And it's really nice. We're doing really well. Even though my husband is still in Virginia finishing up his residency and we're doing a long distance relationship, I think we've done a very good job over the year.
Yeah. Yeah. So you're now in your second year.
I'm about to go into my second year now.
Okay. All right. Almost done with the first year. And you have mentioned a couple things which sounded like they have been big pluses. The fact that you're part of, you know, an immigrant community there in your residency, but then also some challenges with your husband still being in a different city for you. Like, how are you coping with everything? What's your, you know, way to keep everything balanced and on track? Because you got a new baby in the mix there too.
Yeah. So the biggest challenge for me has actually been childcare. It's not something that I realized initially would be so difficult, but with a resident schedule and working like two nights a week, it's really hard to be present for my baby. And I always need help. For 6 months, my husband's parents helped and they were living with me and then they went back. On the visa that they get from my country, they can only come for 6 months. So right now, my mom is here helping. Mm. Now, until my husband becomes an attending in a couple of months, we're going to be really poor. So we need family to help us. Hopefully, when his salary increases, we'll have more options when it comes to babysitters and daycares.
Yeah. So then when he finishes, will he be starting practice near you there where you're in residency?
No, he's got a job in Maryland and he's going to be living somewhere in Delaware. It's going to be a 2.5 hour commute and he's going to be able to come visit more frequently. But for us, it's the best we get here because, like, we have waivers to do for because of our visa situation. So we don't get one together.
Yeah. So tell me about the new addition to your family. When you were last on the podcast, you were pregnant and now you're a mother.
She is the best thing in our lives. Yeah. It's been a year of my daughter and we can't remember a time when we didn't have her in our lives. Yeah. She's amazing. She's very playful. She's better than anything I ever imagined in my life. And I think the same thing with Pawan. He was not as ready as I was, but I think he is head over heels in love with her right now. And we're just really crazy about her. And we're very grateful that life gave us the opportunity to be parents.
Yeah. Well, you certainly look happy on your social media feeds, and you're both clearly busy people. You're physicians in training, but it looks like you're taking advantage of every moment, you know, that you can make new memories, you know, with your daughter.
Yeah, I've been trying really hard this time around in my third effort of event of training to, like, try to maintain a good work-life balance. I know that, like, my work takes a lot of my time, but I try my best to have a life outside of that as well, which kind of reflects on my social media.
Yeah. So let's talk about that, this whole notion of work-life balance. Like, what's your strategy? How is it that you're maintaining a state of being centered and not being overwhelmed, you know, by your personal and your professional responsibilities, being a wife, being a mother, being a resident?
Well, it's not true that I don't get overwhelmed. I do, especially after having a child. Mm-hmm. But considering what life was for me earlier, it's much better. I mean, I have a new added on responsibility, but that's a happy responsibility. Things in my past have been far more overwhelming than they are now. So in that perspective, it's okay. Now, considering the responsibilities that I have, they're all, like, good things. They're my daughter, even though it's a long distance relationship, trying to take out time to spend with my husband. That's also important. And I want to do my work well. So I think it just comes from a mindset. Like, it's more about being overwhelmed and not being overwhelmed. It's just a matter of your mindset. Like, if you've already gone through things that are worse, this can't seem, it doesn't seem that bad.
Yeah. Yeah. So you're drawing some contrasts here. And I think I have, you know, a pretty good idea of what you're talking about. But, you know, how is life now compared to those bad times that you're talking about? Like, can you flesh that out a little bit for us? Like, the things that you're having to struggle with these days versus the things you had to struggle with back then.
Okay. So right now, the only thing that I have to struggle with most is trying to be more present for my daughter, trying to take out some me time, trying to enjoy whatever time I get with my husband. Previously, I had bigger struggles. I had to struggle with an uncertain career. I had to struggle with my basic rights as a human being, fighting for my gender, having to struggle in abusive relationships. So compared to those things, these are all good problems. They're not bad problems. And these are all things that I know that a normal person does get overwhelmed. And even I do. It's not that I don't. But whenever I do, one thing that helps put things into perspective is, like, well, things were worse and I got through that. So it's okay.
Yeah. And certainly having that beautiful bundle of joy there, you know, helps you to put it in perspective as well, I'm sure. Well, that's,
I think,
fantastic.
One thing in life that I feel now is that I can get through anything. So, yeah. And whenever I do get overwhelmed, or when something is very challenging, or when something feels insurmountable, I just try to remind myself that I can get through anything. And usually I can.
Yeah. I think that was the most compelling thing, you know, that I found about your story. Like, you, by the time that we had met, you'd already overcome and accomplished, you know, so much, you know, compared to what the average person, you know, does out there in their lives. And yet you were still a nice person. You were still a person that, you know, said, okay, that happened, but I'm going to keep moving forth with my goals. And yeah, it's great to see that as you're
accomplishing those things, you know, that you're not losing that experience, that struggle that you went through. You know, it really helped to solidify that real knowledge of who you are and how you wanted to show up in the world. And it's such
a
gift.
Dr. Jenkins.
Yeah.
I always found you very inspiring too. And I think you are one of the nicest people I've ever met, who helped me out of the goodness of his heart. And not only me, so many people after me.
Yeah. I mean, it's, I think we're really fortunate to have found each other, but it's, yeah, my story is very similar, right? Like there was some really tough times, and going through those times, letting those difficulties point the way to a deeper truth, you know, of who I was, you know, that was the real work right there. It wasn't so much about the individual circumstances that I found myself in. Yeah. You know, those things, those moments, you know, they had their worth. But at the end of the day, what they really were was an opportunity for me to say, this is the choice that I'm going to make. This is how I'm going to show up. So, yeah, while I appreciate, you know, you saying it and I receive it with grace and gratitude, I'm just reflecting it right back at you, because I think it's, you probably don't hear it enough, you know, none of us probably do, you know, and maybe that's a big part of who we are, that we don't go looking for the affirmation, but it's important to hear it, you know, it's important to hear that and to see that reflected back at you. And I think it makes it easier to rise to the occasion the next time, you know, the difficult situation arises. So I'm really proud of you. I want you to know that. And
thank you so much.
I can't wait to see not just what you offer to the world, but what that beautiful daughter of yours offers to the world. Yeah. When are you going to get her to Nepal?
Well, she's already been there once.
Oh,
and she
God.
Recently went to
wow.
India too for my sister's wedding.
Wow.
She's a very social child who just skipped over the stranger anxiety phase somehow. So
yeah.
When I was on the plane, she was like bothering everybody, going on everybody's lap. Thank God she's so cute that people were not that annoyed.
Yeah. Wow. So she's already gotten her passport stamped. Good for her.
That was one of the most difficult things me and my husband have ever done. We took a passport photo of a 3-month-old.
Yeah.
Like, they don't even look at something. They just don't care. So it was like,
yeah.
And the requirements that the American government has of them looking straight with their ears and everything in like one plane, it's insane. It was like, we took like 10,000 photos before we got one photo that qualified.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure that it was a fantastic time. So looking back, what would you tell, you know, yourself, your 10 years ago self? Like, what was the one advice, you know, that you would give Swati of 10 years ago, knowing what you know now? And
the most important thing that I'll tell myself is that not to act based on what I'm scared of. Things that I feel like that scare me, the things that I fear are more in my head than, they're worse in my head than they are in real life.
Yeah.
And if I act on the basis of my fear, I'm hurting myself. Like, looking back, I feel like in certain situations, I was my own worst enemy because I was just so scared. So scared of what could happen. But whatever does happen is never as bad as that, especially when you're ready to face it. So that's the most important thing I tell myself. And the second thing I would tell myself is that regardless of how anyone would make me feel, I'm good enough. I try my best. I do my best. I try to do the right thing. And that's enough.
That's a whole sermon right there. Don't let fear paralyze you, and to believe in yourself. That's beautiful. Swati, thank you.
Thank you so much, Dr. Jenkins, for having me again.
Find more content from the heart and mind of Dr. Duane at drduanemd.substack.com. That's drduanemd.substack.com. Come vibe with our tribe.